Well, another week at home. How's it going? If Jeannie and I make it to June 14th, we will celebrate 40 years. But we've been together more in these last several weeks than we have in the entire 40 years that we've been married. The other day, she told me, this, she pointed to the house, is my domain. You are a guest. So much for working at home. So I work outside on the porch. I work upstairs to wherever she will banish me. I've worked in closets, just wherever she will let me. After all, she told me this is her domain. Now, we've got a lot of projects going on. Honestly, I need to get back to work. She's wearing me out. One of her projects is me losing weight. That's her project. And so now she is monitoring what I eat. And so I will sneak into the kitchen and I will get something. I will get something that is good. And because it tastes good, it can't be good for you, right? That's the rule. If it tastes good, it can't be healthy. And she will say, you don't need that. Yes, I do. No, you don't. I fixed you a healthy dinner. You've had enough food for the day. You don't need that. Yes, I do. I really need this cookie. I really need this Oreo. My day will not be complete unless I have this cookie. I need this cookie. Well, she's right. I don't need the cookie. And horror of horrors, if I never had another cookie in my life would still be good. There's a lot of difference in our lives, isn't there, between our needs and our wants. A lot of us have anxiety. We struggle as the needs and our wants burn against each other, rub against each other, and create a lot of friction. We live in a culture that is designed to make you want things. Every commercial wants you to click here, buy this, get that. We'll promise you happiness. We'll promise you bliss and joy if you only buy this. And when that product doesn't bring you happiness and joy, well, you didn't buy a big enough one, or you didn't buy the right one, so now you have to buy something else. In our country, you're not valued unless you are consuming, unless you are wanting. There's a lot of difference between our needs and our wants, and this friction, the difference between needs and wants, creates a lot of anxiety, and it is this anxiety that Jesus addresses in the Sermon on the Mount. It's at the end of chapter 6. You're familiar with this paragraph, but hear it again. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they are? Can any of you add one moment to his life by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They do not labor, they do not spin, and yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying what we will eat or what will we drink or what will we wear, for the Gentiles, the unbelievers, eagerly seek all of these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is God's word for God's people. Hear it, believe it, and live. O Lord, teach us to live in the freedom of trusting your care, of learning not to worry, knowing that you've already got this. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Don't worry. really. With all we've got going on in our life, with all the trouble, you can't go 15 minutes without somebody telling you about COVID-19, about how many more people have been infected, about how many more hospitals are now touched by this virus. You can't go 15 minutes without somebody telling you about how the economy is now in shambles because of this pandemic that we don't know how to respond to. What do you mean, don't worry? It's a full-time job now, worrying. And if you're not worrying, then you're not paying attention. But Jesus said, don't. Don't worry about things that you can't control. Worry about right now. Focus on today. Today has enough trouble. You know, in our country, we're always future-oriented. We're always about to get somewhere. We can't wait till the next thing happens. We can't wait till we get out of high school so we can go to college. We can't wait to get out of college so we can go to grad school or get a job. We can't wait to get into the service. We can't wait to get out of the service. We can't wait till we get married. We can't wait till we have children. We can't wait till the children leave. We can't wait till the children come back home. We're always looking for tomorrow. Tomorrow will be better. And we never learn to live now. Right here, right where you are. You hear parents say it all the time. Wow, they grew up so fast. What happened? Seems like just yesterday we brought them home from the hospital. And now, when I hug them, his beard, my own son's beard, scratches my face. What am I going to do with this? What happened? Well, while you were worrying about tomorrow, today happened. We can't multitask. Oh, all the people who told us, man, you can do 3 or 4 things at the same time. No, you can't. You can do one thing at a time. You can't multitask. You can't worry about the future and live today. You can only live right now. Well, great. How do you do that? This is what Jesus says. Seek the kingdom of God first and its righteousness, and everything else falls into place. Do you remember when you were in school and you had matching tests? You remember those tests? You had the answers on one side and the questions on the other, and you had to match the answer and the question. I always hated those tests. You know why? They weren't fair. If you missed one, you didn't miss one, you missed two. If you missed two, you missed four. It was never fair, right? If you got one wrong, then you got another one wrong. That's the way it is with your priorities. If you don't have the kingdom of God and its righteousness first, then your priority list is wrong all the way down. Unless you have that first one right, you don't have any of them right. Now, a lot of times, guys especially will put the career in the first priority. And we will think, as long as I am successful, then my life is good and my life is blessed, and I will serve God after I accomplish these things. Really? Your marriage is struggling, your kids are distant, because you have the wrong thing in the first place. Sometimes parents put children there. We know we're good people. We know we're a good family. Why? Because our children are successful. Look how well our children are doing. Put enormous pressure on the kids to succeed because you have the first priority wrong. What is the most important thing to you? Paul wrote to the Philippians, "This is the only thing I want to know. I want to know Jesus Christ in the fullness of his resurrection, in the suffering of his crucifixion. Everything else in my life is garbage." Now, that's an extraordinary statement. But this is what Jesus is talking about. Do you have the focus of your life, your heart and your mind, so that all that matters in your life is the kingdom of God and his righteousness? The righteousness is a carpentry term. It means to be lined up. So there's nothing that hinders the flow of the Spirit of God from the throne of God into your life and into the community around you. There's nothing that kinks it or would stop it up. It just flows free. That's what it is, being lined up. The kingdom of God the rule of God in creation, the rule of God in our world, and it is flowing from the throne of God through Jesus Christ into you, into your world. And there's nothing in your life that's causing that flow to be hung up. Now, I know you got a question. Does that work? Because that's the question for us. How do I get my life to work? Well, Jesus said, have you looked at the birds? Have you ever seen a robin with a briefcase? No? A crow carrying a backpack? No. Have you seen an eagle looking at his iPhone? No. And yet, these are some of the smartest and majestic creatures in all of nature. You stood in front of the mirror. You wanted to make sure your tie and your shirt, pants look good. You wanted to make sure you had on the right socks. And yet, as fancy as you looked, you can't hold a candle to a blooming flower. They don't worry. They don't sweat. They just enjoy who they are, what they are. Enjoy being who the Father created them to be. Look at around you at nature, how precisely it works, how good God cares for it. And now? Now know how well He will care for you. Aren't sparrows sold for a couple of pennies at the temple? Yeah. Aren't you worth more than them? So why are you worried? After all, worrying doesn't work. Did you see what Jesus said? It's one of the funniest lines in Scripture, and nobody ever laughs when you read it. Did you see what He said? Which of you can add an inch to your height? Which of you can add a moment to your living? By worrying. If you could grow and shrink at will, you'd be famous. You'd have your own show in Las Vegas, The Incredible Growing and Shrinking Man, and you would walk out on stage and Jesus says, that's child's play. If you can't do that, why are you worried about anything else? Live today. It's the moment that matters. And you do that best by seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness first. Don't worry about what you'll eat, what you'll wear. Don't worry about what you will drink. People who do not know the love of our good Father worry about such things. You put the kingdom of God and its righteousness first, and everything else will find its place. So that's the challenge this week. To go in that sanctuary that you have in your heart and look at that list of what matters to you that you've put on the wall there. The only thing I want you to look at is the first thing. What is at the very top of that list? If it's not the kingdom of God, it's wrong. If it's the kingdom of God and its righteousness, then everything else will find its place. So what's first? That's the only question that matters this week. Let's pray together. Help us have the courage to look at our priorities honestly, truthfully, boldly. Help us do the check now to see what matters in our lives. And if it's not you, then please make it so now. Help us, work in us so that you're the only thing that matters. Make us focused on you and you alone so we can live free of the anxiety that our world burdens us with. We pray this in your name.